Okay, so we'll have Abby and Ethan Guma can come up, and they're going to Abby. Okay, they're gonna recite Luke 2:6-14.
There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Okay, we've got a skit now with the Appletons, Myers, Quints. You can make your way up. The Petersons, Marissa Giannini, Kyrie, and Bob Fujita.
About 2,000 years ago, the emperor decreed that all the world must be enrolled. Let no one fail to heed. The world was quite mixed up, you see, and no one seemed to know how many people were there and what taxes did they owe. All through the land, the rich, the poor, the young, the very old, all traveled to their towns of birth so they could be enrolled. And so it was. To Bethlehem, a man named Joseph went to list his name and see how much he owed the government. Beside him, Mary traveled too. Not once did she protest how long and hard the trip had been or how much she needed rest. In Bethlehem, they found the house where Joseph's cousin lived. And when his cousin saw them there, he seemed a bit confused. "We weren't expecting you," he said. "All the rooms are filled. With Granddad, Granny, Uncle Zed, Auntie Sarah too, Brother Petey, Sister Sue, and our six kids as well." When Joseph told them quietly of gentle Mary's plight, that she would have a baby soon, perhaps that very night, his cousin stood, rubbed his bushy bearded jaw. "I have to make some room somehow, your family after all. The only place where space is left is there upon the straw." So the two of them unpacked at once, settled down to rest, not caring that they couldn't have the biggest and the best. They ate their supper slowly as they watched the sun go down and yawned as darkness fell at last upon the little town. The child came so quickly, his face seemed alight, as if God had shown his presence so bright. Joseph said softly, "It's Jesus, my friend. God sent him among us to bring to an end fear and hatred, darkness and sin. God gave light to let his love in." Now animals, they were calm, quieter than normal. They often were noisy and never too formal. They always were eating, or else they were sleeping. The stable required continuous sweeping. But on Christmas night, they were strangely in awe at the sight of the babe and all that they saw. It's as if they were aware that God had just hushed them, had fed and watered and carefully brushed them. They knew, I believe, that God has been able to work a miracle there in that stable. Now, we don't often see angels in flight, but on that first Christmas, they lit up the night. They appeared to the shepherds, and a boy, they were scared. "Angels," cried one, "will any lives be spared? Have you seen our last day? Have we drunk our last cup?" But peace on earth, goodwill to all, was the angel's sweet song. That was their call. With a light show that dazzled all who could see, the angels hallelujahed and sang out with glee. "To Bethlehem, shepherds," the angels directed, "to see Jesus the Christ, whom God has perfected. Go worship the Lord and follow his ways, and you will find Christmas joy for all your days." The shepherds, I told, were scared and stunned. Too much hard work or too much hot sun. That's what they thought. That's how they explained. Perplexed and afraid, they loudly complained. But the angel's song calmed them, and they believed. They rejoiced when they knew, and they were quite relieved. They went to the stable and worshiped the Lord. Then they left and began to spread the good word. The star that shone brightly led wise persons at night to Bethlehem's stable, to the manger's strained light. They came bearing gifts in worship and love, praising God for God's wonders from heaven above. The wise men were kings, and they knelt on my straw. I was the oddest of things that they ever saw. If kings bring him treasure, then maybe you too can worship him, pleasure the person of Jesus who came to us all. So worthy of praise, for he brings us God's call. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to God for healing from strife. Come unto me, all who labor, and I will give you rest forever, the Savior to the Savior. It was that very first Christmas, and there in the manger, the Christ child was born. He couldn't have been stranger. Shepherds saw angels, wise men a star. They came to see Jesus. They came afar. They knew he was special, God's very own son. He came to the earth to love everyone. He grew up in time, the Savior, the Lord, to be worshiped each day, to be loved and adored. So now at Christmas, we all take delight in the gift that God gave us, that verse, Christmas night. In the gifts we receive and the ones that we give, let us never forget it is in Christ that we live.
Wait, oh. Okay, thank you. The next we're going to have Hark the Herald Angels Sing, a piano duet, Jack and Julia Mansky. Okay, next we're going to have Melkied Bielu, and he's going to come up and read. Wait, that was a stunt. He did a nice piece of art, so we're going to put that up on the screen. It's going to come up shortly, and he's going to read from Luke 2 as well. So his artwork is going to be presented, and he will also read. So it's slowly appearing behind him. Okay, Milk.
Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger."
There's the artwork, and I think you can go view it at Melkidi's house if you'd like. The original. Okay, next we're gonna have Ariel is coming up, and she's going to say a few things.
As long as I can remember, we've been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, the whole nation. I'd always knew he'd come, but, well, let's be honest. It's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl from Nazareth. Everyone knows not a lot of good things come from Nazareth. Never has. I thought for sure that angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if this is what God wants, then who am I to tell him he's wrong? And Joseph, oh God, bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everyone else, sent me away, or even had me killed. But he never broke his promise to marry me. So when he went to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to be by his side. Even with heartburn, bloated cackles, and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those pregnant women who try different things to induce labor? Like taking frequent walks or eating spicy food? What they should do is set out on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Because not long after we'd arrived, well, I've never done this myself before, but I knew it was time. With each wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that I was having this baby without my family's help. When Jesus was finally born, I forgot all of that. I wrapped him in cloths and made the most comfortable bed I could with the only thing we had, an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping by then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. I was holding the Almighty Jesus, the one that Angel had told me about. My heart is too full. None of my words can express how meaningful this baby is to me. I'm not the first young mother to bring a child into the world. Looking at him, my precious Redeemer, the Almighty One who will come save us all. I, Mary, am holding the one who will change everything, because he has already changed me.
Very good. Thank you very much, Ariel. And now Joy, Jane, and Emma Mansky will sing Make Room in Your Heart.
Keep them low for them.
And after that, Ian Quinn giving a verse.
A family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. The sleeping town they did not know, lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is
Okay, Ian's gonna say a verse. Ian, you can come out. And Isaiah, sorry. Isaiah 2.
But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born of the law, that we may receive that. Why is there to be so much songs? But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem those under law, that we may receive the full rights of sons. Galatians 4, verse 4 through 5. He will be great, and he will be called Isaiah. Isaiah. Come on, yes, say two. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Luke 1, 42.
Okay, so we have two left. We're going to have the Peterson family come up and sing Angels We Have Heard on High. And then we're going to have the whole Sunday school sing Joy to the World after that. And then Mr. Aldo will give the message. And then we're going to have Silent Night played. But I also wanted to let you guys know, as the Petersons are getting set up, that all the kids have gifts downstairs, so you each is arranged by the class. So you're going to go down and you have your own gift with your own name on it. So you're going to go grab that after the meeting's over, after we do Silent Night. So are you guys ready? And then of course we still have cookies and stuff downstairs. So the Petersons are doing Angels We Have Heard on High.
Do you want me to sing? Okay. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Angels we have heard on high. Sing. Sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous sing. Holia in excelsis Deo. Should we do verse 2?
Yeah.
How? What does it start? Can you sing that? Ezra, do you remember it? Should we be done? All right. Good job, kids.
Okay, now we're going to do Joy to the World. And this is for all the Sunday school kids that are younger than middle school. So just the ones that have been downstairs practicing. So. Don't touch the mics, okay? Leave the mics alone. And don't stand right in front of the mic. Stand in front. Yeah, the little kids in the front.
can turn in your turn in the hymnal to 603. That the kids will be singing verse 1 of Joy to the World, and then you can join us in the next verses. So Joy to the World. And during this season, we have a lot of joy because the Lord Jesus, he came into this world. We remember they came in, as this verse says, Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And we have joy because we know our Savior is coming again. And he's the only one who bring peace to this world. So let's sing Joy to the World. The kids will sing verse 1.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Okay, as kids come down, we're going to have Mr. Aldo give the message. Whoops. And then after that, we will have one last song, Silent Night.
Good morning, everyone. This was a nice program. I thought the kids did a good work. Good job there. So most of the thoughts that I'll share were pretty much touched through a song or a verse. These two verses from Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7 were we'll spend about 10-15 minutes. Have been an encouragement to me this day. So the Lord put them in my heart to share them with you all this morning. So it's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. So Isaiah, it's a pretty big book. if you have a Bible by you, just kind of go in the middle and you should be on Isaiah. So I'll go ahead and read them. Chapter 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. And I really like this last line. It's a truth, or basically the whole word of God, that the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in simple language, that would just be that the Lord is going to make sure that, and he's the one that is going to kind of get it done. So for unto us a child is born. Isaiah kind of describes this event that is in front of him as an event that it has already happened. And the arrival of Jesus will be another 700 years until this word is fulfilled. But Isaiah is so certain, and in his writing, it seems like the Jesus is born. So for unto us a son is born, present. For us that live on the other side of Jesus's birth, and it's easier, you know, for us to understand and to know more of his birth. But when you look back, you kind of marvel at the accuracy of this writing, of Isaiah's writing. And it's undeniably that it's the Lord himself, God, that is inspiring Isaiah to write this down for us, and through his Holy Spirit. I really Luke kind of touched a little bit on this last week, and I kind of liked his this verse. He said that it's as sure as having a nose in our face, and it kind of made me giggle a little, but it's very appropriate and very, you know, very visual that you know, it's in front of us. We just can't miss it. So for unto us a child is born, and this is Christmas. This is the message of Christmas. This is the message of the manger scene, nativity. And it speaks and points out to the humanity of Jesus. And one of the characteristics it's mentioned is that this child, a few lines down, it's the mighty God. And I can almost, if we were in Sunday school today, I can almost hear one of the children ask the question that, well, how can a mighty God, how can God be born? And for that, I would like us to go to Matthew 1 and chapter 20. And I'll start there. Chapter 20 says, but while he thought about these things, so this is Joseph finding out that, learning that Mary is expecting, and in his thoughts, he secretly was going to divorce her, an angel of the Lord. But while he thought about this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And the verse here says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this kind of answers that question that how can God be born? And the answer is that it's a work, it's a work of God. How this child, Jesus, would be born. It's not the will of the man, but it's God himself. It's that conceived this baby in Mary's womb. And yet Jesus was fully human, as we see. There are many accounts in the New Testament that points out the humanity of Jesus. And as a child like us, he learned to do many things by observing his earthly father, Joseph, putting socks, shoes, getting dressed. And during his earthly ministry, we see him, hunger and thirst and get tired and showing emotions. At Lazarus' death, he wept, and he was tempted, but what sets him apart from the rest of humanity is that he never sinned. He didn't sin. It's impossible. It's another part of scripture where it says it's impossible for God to sin, and this is what sets him apart. Another verse is John 1:16, where it says that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, speaking of the incarnation of Christ. And if you read the Bible, really, the humanity of Jesus is clear. It's Jesus of Nazareth. The second line is that, for unto us a son is given. And when you read this, the next question is, well, who gave this son? Who gave this son to us? And the son, this time, the son, it's not born, but he is given. And this language kind of makes you want to ask the question that, or suggest that this son pre-existed. If he was given, means that he was somewhere before he was given. And and again, in the Word of God, his Word, we read that Jesus always existed before even he was born. John puts it in his account, John 3:16, very well-known verse, where it says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus, by taking flesh, he had to put some of his attributes aside for our sake, because I don't think if we would have seen him in his full glory, as it was mentioned, this king, this God himself, we were not would have been able to stand. Some of the disciples did see Jesus at the mountain transfiguration. They did see his glory. Peter, James, and John, I think, and where his garment were very shiny. And the voice of the Father was heard that, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. The Word of God, as it was mentioned even this morning, is that it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, from the Genesis, we see that God created the world, created everything in it. He created Adam and Eve. And he called it good, and everything was good. And it didn't take us long to kind of mess things up and disobey God, and for that reason, sin entered into the world, and that wasn't good. So for that reason, God promised his son, the only one that is able to take the sin, our sins upon himself, and die on the cross. And another name or characteristic of our Lord Jesus is that he's the mediator and the redeemer. And as a mediator between the holy God and us people, sinful people with a great need to be that we have. And by being fully man and fully God, he was able to represent kind of equally this to us, to God. And Jesus did go to the cross, and he paid in full for our sins. No sins of his own, but our sins, and that we were not able to pay for ourselves. Another verse that I would like to read is 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, from his birth to the cross, Jesus, for the most part, was rejected. And John 1:11-12 says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. So the invitation it's that the Lord wants to send out is that that I have paid for your sins. My son completed the work, and it costed him greatly, his only begotten son. And it's only by faith that we can take this gift of Jesus by grace, through faith. And it's only in him alone that you can find, and we can find relief from the sins, from the sin question. The same author, same prophet, Isaiah, he wrote in this first chapter that, God, his invitation is to come and to reason with the Lord. Come, let us reason, says the Lord in Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. I really like this. This really touches my heart, touches me, that we have a Lord that wants to reason. He has given us this free will to choose, so I would like to close with this thought that Jesus suffered, died, and he didn't remain in the tomb. On the third day, he rose from the dead, and for our justification, and really displaying the power of God in him. And I would like to read 2 Peter 1, 16 and 18. So 2 Peter 1:16-18 says, for it's Peter saying, but for we didn't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. For we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. So if you know anything about Peter, he denied Jesus three times, and at the crucifixion he said that even he doesn't even know him. And he was one of the key followers of Jesus Christ. But his story didn't end there. He obviously is writing this strong words as an eyewitness that he has seen Christ and suffer and die and resurrected, and wants to make sure that this church is that he is writing these letters to, and others that would come after and read and consider this. He wants to make sure that, you know, on the thought of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is alive. He is not dead. He said, I was there. I was there in the mountain. He's very specific there. And we heard the voice of God kind of affirming what his son had accomplished. So I would like to close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment where this day, this first day of the week, where we can come together and remember again your Son, our Lord Jesus, that came into the world, took flesh, and showed us your love, introduced us to you, Father. And thank you for our Lord Jesus that is able, your Son was able to, the only one that could pay for the penalty of sin, and he paid it in full. And Lord, he is risen, and we know that he would come back and take the ones that has believed in his name into himself in heaven. And this is our hope, this is our peace, that rule in our heart, that we know you and our eternity is secure. And Lord, and for that reason, we, for this hope that we have in front of us, we desire that more people would come to know him as a personal savior and tell of his wonderful birth, and again, Lord, what was accomplished at the Calvary. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we'll have one closing. Okay, so we're actually not going to do the guitar, but if we could play Silent Night on the piano, and it's number 628. 628, Silent Night, and then we'll close and we can have some cookies downstairs. Thank you.